You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock on Twitter, at Eric underscore Crocker. Talking Madden ratings today, some reveals for the top 10 at least, rookies in Madden. Where is Trey Lance on that list of the top rookies in the NFL going into Madden 22's season? I'm very interested to get Crocker's thoughts on that as he is a Madden expert. And what his strategy will be to develop Trey Lance on Madden, if it's the way the 49ers should go about it in real life. The 49ers making some moves too. We talked about Deshaun Hall getting released, the defensive lineman. They have added another defensive lineman today, worked out yet another defensive lineman, and signed one of their rookies, which means Trey Lance is the last rookie yet to sign for the San Francisco 49ers. This episode is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Ambry Thomas, the 49ers' third-round cornerback, has officially signed. And look, all the rookies are going to sign. I've seen a lot of people get a little bit weird about it. What's going on here? And we talked a little bit about it on the show, Croc, I think it was Matt Maiocco today, with somebody talking about Trey Lance not signing yet. And he said, I don't have anything to report, but he said, I will guarantee you, and he threw out the number, $34.1 million or whatever it was. He's like, I will guarantee you he will sign for exactly this much money before the season. Don't worry about it. We know the number. It's a slotted system. There's probably some very minor thing that maybe there's some posturing about. I think Trey Lance's people are waiting for the number two pick, Zach Wilson, to sign first. Then Trey Lance will sign and make sure they get all the things that he got as the number two pick. All the perks, all the offsets and those things and all the language is proper for Trey Lance's rookie contract. But I want to talk, Croc, about Ambry Thomas, the third round pick. A late third rounder for the 49ers, kind of lost in the shuffle as it came to the NFL draft. Not a player I watched a lot in the lead up to the draft because he didn't play in 2020, just seeing how the 49ers have treated the veteran that he'll be competing with, most likely, I assume, in Emmanuel Mosley. Are we talking about a guy who could roll in as a rookie and be a starter, maybe even as early as week one, in the newly signed rookie third-round cornerback Ambry Thomas?
I think it'd be tough for him to come in and just take a starting spot from even a guy like, you know, Emmanuel Mosley, who, you know, we've talked about late last year, Dante Johnson, Kelly Witherspoon playing over Mosley while Mosley was kind of just stuck on special teams. But even then, Mosley is the veteran. It would take a lot to be able to overtake him and end up starting at corner as a rookie. If I had to expect or if I had to kind of project what would happen in a scenario where Ambry Thomas did become the starting cornerback, Mosley would just have to have a start to the season like he did last year, 14 catches against the Arizona Cardinals with DeAndre Hopkins, and then maybe kind of compound that with some not-so-good outings. And I think from that perspective, you could see a guy like Ambry Thomas start to get some reps and then sooner or later really take over as a starting spot, which we saw from Akilah Witherspoon when he was a rookie. He didn't play a whole lot early on, but then eventually when Rashard Robinson and Dante Johnson, those guys, they were a little up and down, then you start to see Akilah Witherspoon get put in there a little bit more.
What do you think about the left corner, right cornerback thing? Because Ambry Thomas played mostly on the right side, but unless Richard Sherman was hurt, nobody else was playing the left side for the 49ers recently. So do you think there's a left side, right side thing to all this? Do you think the 49ers want to keep Ambry Thomas as a rookie on the right side and maybe back up Jason Verrett there with the veteran in Emmanuel Mosley on the left side? And I know Dante Johnson has played a little bit more on the left side than he had in the right side in the past as well. Or do you think maybe the left-right thing is going to go away a little bit? We'll see more field and boundary, more just whoever the 49ers think is the best receiver on the other side, the biggest threat on the other side. Maybe that's where Jason Verrett goes.
See, it was interesting, like, what they did with Robert Saleh. Like, initially, it was a left corner and a right corner. And it was always Richard Sherman, for the most part, on the left side, and then whoever else was the right corner. Mm-hmm. And from my understanding, a lot of teams want their left corner to be a guy that kind of, you know, that's the side that the quarterback is open to.
Yeah, so is it just because
of a better guy there?
Is that like a right-handed quarterback thing? That's just because it seems like that's where, if you have a left-right thing, you have the best corner on the left side of the defense. Why is it?
That's what I'm assuming. All right. But last year, and I can't remember if they did the year before, but they started doing some field boundary stuff, and they actually did it. I remember they did it with Dante Johnson and Rashard Robinson, started doing a little bit more of it again. And I never really understood the field boundary thing because I never had to do it. But after talking with some people that have been either in that type of system or coached it or familiar with it, a lot of times teams want to put their guy who is really good with reading concepts to the field. And the guy that might be a little bit more just naturally aggressive at the line of scrimmage to the boundary. So I'll be interested to see if they continue to do something like that. But it doesn't seem like it's something that happens a whole lot in the NFL, more so in high school and college, but 49ers definitely did it.
And the field and boundary being the field is, if you're on one hash, the field is the side with all the space. And the boundary is the side that's closer to the hash, where the sideline is where the hash is. And usually where there's going to be more, the offense is going to have more receivers usually on the field side, right? Because there's more space to work.
Well, yeah, but in the NFL, the hash is the middle of the field. Like, it's not very wide. Like college, it makes sense because the hashes are really wide. Mm-hmm. So if you're to the boundary, if the ball is lined up to the boundary in college, there is so much field to that side. But in the NFL, the hashes aren't nearly as wide. And that kind of throws things off for quarterbacks because it messes up the spacing that they're used to. It's definitely different for defensive backs, but they're probably like, man, this is a little bit easier because I don't have as much field when I am to the field.
Yeah.
So, quarterbacks, I think and receivers, it messes with their spacing, what they're used to coming from college to the NFL.
I think it might help quarterbacks too, because then they can make that throw to the out easier on the far side. Because in college, that's the big throw when you're looking at college quarterbacks. Can they throw the out to the far side of the field? You know, from the far hash, can they throw that out route to the other sideline? And not a lot of quarterbacks can do that in the NFL. That's not as big of a throw. So it opens up the whole field for an NFL quarterback more, which, you know, can help and hurt a corner, I guess, in certain degrees.
I'd be curious to see what Jimmy Garoppolo looked like throwing from far hash in college, because in the NFL, looks like it dies on him a little bit. I will say, you look at some of the quarterbacks coming out this year, Zach Wilson did it effortlessly. Justin Fields effortlessly, and Trey Lance as well. I mean, they were throwing far hash throws like it was just a walk in the park.
That's one of the things with Mac Jones that I didn't see as much of. The other four quarterbacks, that's where I think they shined, was that kind of stuff. And you would see some balls die on Mac Jones. And Jimmy Garoppolo, the weird thing about him is he doesn't attempt it. And I don't know if that's a Shanahan thing or a Garoppolo thing, but he doesn't even try some of those more difficult throws. He's fine with just throwing it between the hashes in the middle of the field. He loves between the numbers. Like, that's where Garoppolo lives. And I know that's where Shanahan, you know, as a coordinator, likes to do a lot of stuff. But there's almost like, I wonder if it's just the combination of how Shanahan is as a play caller and Jimmy Garoppolo's strength, that it's almost gotten to a cartoonish level where it's just so much over the middle of the field in this offense. And maybe that's one of the things that Kyle Shanahan wanted to break out of when he got a new quarterback. He's like, I want a big arm. I want to extend things, get it out there, get it over there.
I think a lot of it has to do with who his quarterback is and being able to play to his strengths. Right now, playing to Jimmy Garoppolo's strengths got the 49ers to the Super Bowl. So it's not all bad, right? But
oh, no.
As a coordinator who wants to call plays that open up things a little bit more and kind of expand things, it makes it a little bit harder to, you know, a little bit more difficult to defend. You would like a quarterback that can drive out breaking routes. And saw Jimmy Garoppolo do it, not very often. Definitely saw some times where balls would kind of die on him, kind of tail off going out. So yeah, that is something that I'm pretty sure Kyle Shanahan, like, he wants the full field. That's one thing that makes, and this is an extreme example, but the Kansas City Chiefs, you have to defend every blade of grass. Mm-hmm. So everything that they do, you kind of have to have a plan for it. So if they fake this way, then come back this way, you start to see guys move and stuff because you have to defend the whole field with them. Whereas a Jimmy Garoppolo-led offense, you know, most of the action is going to be really condensed. And I think it makes it more difficult for not just Kyle Shanahan, who's calling the plays, but Jimmy Garoppolo, who has to be a lot more precise. And we've seen sometimes where, you know, he wants to get the ball out of his hands right now, right? He wants to play in with timing and rhythm. And when he doesn't, you start to see him kind of make those weird little decisions of, I don't know, throwing right to a linebacker who's staring at you. You're staring at him, and you still throw it anyways, and he picks it off. But I think that's where Garoppolo has to win. I think it makes it a little bit difficult, but he also completed a high percentage of those passes as well. And if you look at one of those like heat-seeking charts or whatever people have, where it shows like blue and it shows like a lot of red, the middle of the field is all red for him because that's his hot spot.
I want to talk a little bit more about that ability of Trey Lance, because some of the Madden 22 ratings have leaked. Where does Trey Lance rank amongst other rookies? I want to get your thoughts on Trey Lance's rating there and some other minor roster moves for the 49ers preparing for camp. And today they will be showing up to training camp, not getting reports yet of practices. Those things will happen, and players soon to hit the field for the 49ers this summer as we get ready for 2021. We'll hit some of your questions as well coming up. Talking a lot about how the draft and free agency has altered things for the 2021 season, you can go to betonline.ag and then bet accordingly. Do you think a certain team's chances to win the Super Bowl next year have changed? Win some money on it at betonline.ag. They've also got some fresh odds on Offensive Rookie of the Year. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, second, tied with Trey Lance. Zach Wilson at 7-1. Kyle Pitts, 11-1 on the defensive side for Rookie of the Year next season. Micah Parsons leads that at 4-1. Jalen Phillips, 7-1. J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain at 10-1, along with Zaven Collins and the second rounder, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, one of the steals of the draft, in my opinion, 12-1 odds. NBA, NHL, Major League, Baseball, table games, poker. All you got to do to get involved in the action is head to the website at betonline.ag or the mobile app. Use promo code LOCKEDON when signing up to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I want to get the transactions out of the way, Croc, and I want to talk Madden ratings because I know you have thoughts on this. So, Ambry Thomas, 49ers third-round pick, has signed. Trey Lance will be signing very soon. Deshaun Hall cut. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. He didn't play at all for the 49ers. He was on the practice squad last year. And I saw a lot of people were like, who's Deshaun Hall? I remember Deshaun Hall coming out of, it was a Texas A&M, right? Sort of a lengthy, flexible edge rusher guy. I think he was a fourth-round pick. I liked Deshaun Hall coming out of college, but he never really did much in the NFL. The 49ers worked out defensive lineman Anthony Zettel, who has already been on the 49ers just a couple years ago, but they actually made a signing of Eddie Yarborough, an edge rusher, to replace Deshaun Hall. And I wonder if there's maybe a theme here with the 49ers. So there's Dee Ford already, then there's Samson Ebukam. Now they have signed Eddie Yarborough, who's 6'3", 259 pounds out of Wyoming. He's been around for a few years. He's got some 33-inch arms. He's like he's that prototype guy who's sort of a tweener linebacker, edge player, but he's got edge athleticism. And he didn't blow anybody out of the water at the combine. You know, 4'8", 5'40", just pretty pedestrian numbers there. Threw up some 28 bench press reps, which is nice if you have 33-inch arms at 259 pounds. One sack so far in his career. He's bounced around a little bit. He was an undrafted free agent for the Buffalo Bills in 2017. He had one sack that year and actually got in some action and started six games. Played in all 16 games that year with one sack. That's his only career sack to this point. In 2018, played in Buffalo, then was out of the league in 2019. 2020, came back with the Minnesota Vikings last year and got in on some action in four games. Had eight combined tackles. So the 49ers just bringing in another body. Maybe they didn't like what they saw from Deshaun Hall, and they brought in Eddie Yarborough to compete in training camp. I don't think we need to talk about Eddie Yarborough because, to be honest with you, if he knocked on my front door right now, I would not recognize him, and I don't really know much about him except for what I have just told you, which I learned on the internet machine. But, Croc, when I look at his shape and his size, are the 49ers trying to find a little bit of a multiple defense where they're trying to work in that sort of what we traditionally would think of as a 3-4 outside linebacker type, which is what Dee Ford was before he came to the 49ers, which is what Samson Abelcom would seem to be a perfect fit for. And Eddie Yarborough fits in that mold. Do they want that 250-pound to 260-pound sort of tweener player coming off the edge with some juice? Is that what they're looking for here? Maybe someone to replace someone like Mark Ngaccia too, size-wise? He was one of those guys, but he played more off ball. I think these guys are more on the ball edge rushers. They might be a little bit undersized, but might have some athleticism off the edge.
Yeah, I think they want somebody that's coming off that edge with their hair on fire and get the quarterback to kind of maybe move off of his spot a little bit. Can he get a quarterback to step up into a guy like Kinlaw, a guy like Eric Armstead, right? We know Bosa, he's going to win how he wins, but sometimes you just need that guy with some speed that comes off the edge and moves the quarterback off of his spot. And it seems like they're looking for a guy that could possibly do that.
I think all of those names are very unlikely to make the roster, as was Deshaun Hall, if they do end up signing Anthony Zettel too, but they do need some depth there. So I think it is smart for the 49ers to make sure they have enough numbers on the edge. And we talked on today's Locked On NFL program with Luke and Ross from Locked On NFL. They had us on talking about the Niners, and that was my big thing with the 49ers, and it has been, and I keep pounding that subject. It's just like Nick Bosa is so important, the edge is so important, the Niners are really good on the interior, but they've got to be healthy on the edge. They've got to get pressure on the edge, because we just talked about the cornerback spots. It's there's some unknowns there at corner, and you don't have that Hall of Fame type player in Richard Sherman in the secondary anymore. So they need to make sure that the time to throw for opposing cornerbacks is low. And you know, when we talked about, we're going to talk a little bit more about Trey Lance in a second, but when you talk about the timing of Jimmy Garoppolo, he wants to get the ball out quick. The 49ers have been hurt by those quarterbacks who extend plays. And we saw it in the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes. We see it two times a year against Russell Wilson. Those guys that can create after the first 3 seconds of the play and can extend plays and really hurt you down the field, that's where the 49ers have had some problems recently. So maybe that's why they want to have a little bit lighter, a little bit quicker, sort of undersized speed rushers. If they can put them there on third down, that they think can chase some of those quarterbacks a little bit better.
Yeah, and again, I mean, even the guys that move around, you know, a lot of times they want to play in rhythm too, except for Russell Wilson. Feels like he gets joy out of just moving around. They're typically quarterbacks are taught, like, you know, you don't want to drop your eyes. I think he drops his eyes faster than anyone in the league. He's definitely looking at that pass rush. And I don't know if it's because he's smaller, maybe the same thing with Kyler Murray, but maybe they're just smaller and it's like, you know what? I have to try to find windows.
Yeah, right? I don't have a window right now. Let's get out of here and find a window. I think that's part of it. Even Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes has talked about it this offseason. I think Andy Reid mentioned it too. And Patrick Mahomes agreed. He's like, yeah, I got to do better because I bail out so much. And you see so many plays. He can get away with it because of his arm. He's backpedaling from the snap, but he knows he can make up for it. Other quarterbacks can't do that.
So Patrick Mahomes, that's a whole different subject. And I know, you know, he's not a 49er or he doesn't have anything to do with this conversation really, but he is a guy, you know, people talk about one read quarterbacks. Mahomes is, he's right there with it being a one read guy. And I brought this up during the Super Bowl when they were going to play the 49ers and I was watching the film, trying to get some takes down. And I'm like, is Mahomes a one read quarterback? And what I mean by that is Mahomes, he has guys that are so good. He'll look, and if it's there, he'll let it rip. But he moves quick. And once he moves, he's not moving to run, but he's moving to just see the field better and then just try to make a crazy throw with his arm. And he has, obviously, the arm talent. But he is a guy who is not just, okay, I'm back, read one, read two, read three, oh, ball's out. That's not him. It's read one, and if one isn't there, I'm going to move and try to make a play on the move. And a lot of times you see guys turn to the scramble drill, start going downfield. You see him throw those bombs. Those aren't things that are within the context of the offense or at least the original play call.
I want to make sure we have enough time to get into this Madden stuff. So I want to move along to that subject. Trey Lance, a 74 overall rating. Crocker, I'm going to get your thoughts there, where he ranks against other Madden rookies and hopefully we'll have some time to hit a couple questions. If not, we'll hit some more on tomorrow's program with Nick Winkler on another Winky Wednesday. So let's talk Madden ratings. Let's talk rookie Trey Lance next. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Convenient self-service at RockAuto.com, where you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, jumper cables, even new carpet for your classic cars, your daily driver. Get everything you need in just a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers alike. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Croc, I wonder how long of a... It's not a leash because Trey Lance, I don't think, is expected to start early. But I wonder if Trey Lance... And I think one of the things that Kyle Shanahan, it's the thing he loved about C.J. Beathard coming out of college. I think the offense that they're in really helped C.J. Beathard, and I know it was a factor for Trey Lance. He liked seeing a quarterback work in an offense that was pro-style, going through progressions, and I think Justin Fields was very much like the quarterback we just talked about in Patrick Mahomes and in Russell Wilson, where he will extend plays with his legs and he will take a little bit longer, try to find something and make big throws and make amazing throws. But I think Kyle Shanahan wants to work differently. And I think that's why Trey Lance was his guy. And so he wants the offense to run in rhythm, whether he runs the ball more, whether he does, you know, extend some plays and make some bigger plays. He wants the offense to run in rhythm, which is why I think it's going to take a little bit longer for Trey Lance than some fans want. And he's not going to play early necessarily in the season, you know, just a little bit of development. He could play, like Trey Lance could start week one just with his pure arm strength and athleticism, and it'd be a problem for NFC West defenses. Like that would be a tough guy to defend in Kyle Shanahan's offense. But I think Shanahan wants more, and he has Garoppolo. I think that's why it's going to take a little bit of time for Trey Lance to get in there. But when he does get in there, and actually I'll ask it this way, Trey Lance, a 74 overall Madden rating in Madden 22, Croc, when you start up your Madden franchise, and I know you're in a Madden league, if you have the 49ers and you have Trey Lance, you going to sit him a year, try to win with Jimmy Garoppolo, who might have a better overall rating? You're going to throw the rookie Trey Lance in there right away.
No, you throw the rookie in right away. At 74 overall, I think a lot of 49er fans are like, oh, man, that's so low. And maybe if you're just playing like an online ranked game, it is kind of low. But when you play in connected franchise mode, that's fine. Because a lot of times it's the other things that makes his rating be lower. So, you know, you have his awareness. That's probably very low, especially with him coming from an FCS school. Maybe some of his, like, intermediate throws, that might be lower. But in connected franchise mode, those are things that you can build on. So you want the things that are tougher to build on, arm strength, speed, athleticism, and then you can build on everything else. So he's definitely a guy who I will be playing right away. And you want to get them in there because, you know, the younger they are, the more they improve quicker. So at 21 years old, start him now. By the end of his rookie year, he'll probably be, if you're good, he'll probably be at 84 or 85 overall quarterback. And by year two, he'll be hovering around 90 because he has the speed and the arm strength and everything else you can kind of build on.
You don't think there was some disrespect with the 74 overall rating when we look at the other rookies that were ahead of him? Trey Lance was the third overall pick in the draft, but he was what? I think, was it ninth? Eighth or ninth in overall rating amongst rookies. Here's the rookie ratings. Kyle Pitts was number one, 81 overall. I think for Kyle Pitts, it's hard because when you're that good of a prospect and you have that much in every category, it's hard to keep the overall low, right? So even if they wanted Kyle Pitts to not be the number one prospect, he just stands out in every category so much. It's hard for that overall not to just climb and climb when you give him all of those abilities, unless you just crank that awareness all the way down, which is probably something that happened to Trey Lance. But Kyle Pitts, top-rated rookie in Madden 22 to start, 81 overall. Trevor Lawrence, second with 78 overall. Jaylen Waddle, that one surprised me. That speed rating probably boosts things up. 76, tied with Patrick Surtain, the top defender amongst rookies in Madden 22 at 76. 75, Penei Sewell, Zach Wilson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Devontae Smith. So obviously the wide receivers ranking very high in the Madden ratings there. And then coming in at 74 was Trey Lance, tied with Justin Fields. 74. Do you think at 74, the eighth or ninth best rookie in this class, Madden 22, was disrespectful to the young man?
Nah, because again, he's the one with the biggest unknown, right? I mean, he's coming from the FCS school, North Dakota State, didn't start a ton of games. I would actually feel more disrespected if I were Justin Fields, that this, you know, FCS guy has the same Madden rating as me, especially when you factor in the arm strength is very similar and the athleticism of Justin Fields. I mean, obviously we know that Trey Lance is very athletic, but he didn't test in time. Mm-hmm. We do see Justin Fields' time, and he ran a 4.440, which will also boost your rating. So if I'm Fields, I'm probably a little bit more disrespected than I think Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance should be fine with it.
Yeah, and you could say that Fields would be a little bit more ready to play, and so it wouldn't be surprised that they have similar ratings, or that Fields could say he should have a higher rating, that he should be able to come in week one and play better than Trey Lance just because of those things you mentioned and the year away from ball, or he only played one season or one game last year and at the double A level. So, but Trey Lance, you said you saw the arm strength, and we don't have all the other ratings that make up this, which would tell the whole picture. I'm sure Trey Lance's awareness is way low, which makes it better because he's 74 with probably low awareness. You build that up with all the physical tools he has, arm strength and athleticism. You could build Trey Lance up to be a pretty awesome Madden player, which is, I assume, what most Madden players are going to do that are 49ers fans and probably try to trade Jimmy Garoppolo before the first season starts of their franchise mode. But what were the other attributes you saw from Trey Lance?
I didn't see all of them, but I know someone told me 91 throwing power, 87 speed.
Oh yeah, 87 speed. That's trouble for a quarterback. That's going to be tough to defend. So that's why he's going to be the starting quarterback week one for Eric Crocker. I don't think he'll be the starting quarterback though week one for the San Francisco 49ers unless something unforeseen happens, or he is a savant and he's a smart dude and a hard worker. So I'm not going to say he can't do it, but that would be very difficult for him to beat out Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, this preseason for the 49ers. Although he should get a ton of run in those preseason games, which will be fun. These will be some of the most fun preseason games I can remember for the 49ers coming up this year. Real quick, just for some context. So this is the 2020 rookie quarterback ratings mixed with the 2021 Madden quarterback ratings. So Trey Lance, even better than Joe Burrow. Burrow is a 76. Trevor Lawrence even higher than Burrow. So Lawrence this year comes in the highest out of the last 2 years combined. Lawrence a 78 overall. Burrow was a 76 last year. Wilson third at a 75. Lance and Fields 74, both ahead of Tua and Herbert. Tua was a 73 last year. And Justin Herbert was only a 70 last year. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. See, so yeah, I mean, I think they showed Trey Lance a lot of love, especially for someone who's a one-year starter. You talk about Justin Herbert. I mean, he was a four-year starter at Oregon.
And he had athleticism and a huge arm.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do we want to get into here, Croc? Let's get into some of these questions. Actually, there's something I want to talk about here. I feel like I've talked about this too many times on the podcast, but I want to address Bob on Twitter, at TNNinerFan. He took exception to what I said about never drafting a punter in the fourth round. And he said that any player who was healthy and productive for 16 games last year had a higher value than someone who played two. And I don't really know what he's talking about, because that's not really what I was talking about. I was talking about the opportunity of what player you could get in the fourth round and draft over a punter. But if your bar for a successful punter being 16 games, I mean, that's just not even what the conversation should be about. If your punter's not playing 16 games, like, I could find a punter. I could go get my next door neighbor and he could probably finish 16 games as a punter, as long as he didn't try to tackle anybody. It doesn't mean he was good and doesn't mean he was valuable. So a punter playing 16 games has zero impact on his value for me. I mean, am I crazy, Croc, thinking that a fourth round punter who's going to turn 30 next March before his first contract is even done, is a little bit crazy as a fourth round pick. I mean, am I way off on this? Because there's a couple fans that got mad at me about it. Or are we talking about just fans that like the players on their team? Which I get. I'm not trying to kick Mitch Wisnowski off the team. I'm talking about the draft. I'm not even talking about what he is right now. Because right now he's fine. He's on the team. You're not trying to kick him off.
I think your logic was really good. You know, when I asked the question, it was maybe thinking along the same lines of Bob. Is that who you said it was? Right.
Bob,
so,
yes,
you know, I think, yeah, I think my logic was along the same lines in the sense of you could have a guy that's contributing every game, even though he's not a big impact player, but he's a punter, or a guy that's likely to not even be on the team. And your thought process was, how big is the difference between the best punter in the league and the number 32 punter in the league? And it might be a few 3 yards, you know, per punt difference, maybe not even that drastic of a difference. So it's like, you would rather take a chance on, and I said this because someone said you would rather have Joe Williams in the fourth than with Mitch Wisnowski. And I said, well, I think that Brian would rather have George Kittle, Dre Greenlaw, you know, right. Some of these DJ Jones, you know, all these mid-round guys who the 49ers have had contribute. You'd rather take your chances on being that, as well as potentially a Joe Williams. You take your chances on being one of those guys, a Trent Taylor, guys that have contributed as mid-round picks, as opposed to a punter who doesn't make that much of a difference.
Yeah, well, see, here's what's funny is my shadow drafts, this is the reason why I do the shadow drafts, because I don't want to go back and in hindsight scout things. In the 2017 draft, my picks were Carl Lawson and George Kittle in the late third round and the fourth round, right? If I was in charge of another team, the Niners wouldn't have had a shot at George Kittle because I'd have taken him in the fourth round, and the Niners took him in the fifth round. Carl Lawson was the C.J. Beathard pick for me. So like, I can put actual names to the picks that would have been a fourth round pick. And Joe Williams
Lawson's been pretty good, right?
Carl Lawson just got big time money from the New York Jets. Yeah, he's been awesome as a pass rusher. I mean, he hasn't been amazing. He was injured earlier in his career and really sort of broke out in the last couple of years. His first 2 years, he spent injured a little bit, and he had some injuries at Auburn. I think that was part of the problems. A little underside pass rusher. He would look real nice though with the 49ers. But the point being that, and Chauncey Gardner Johnson was one of my players in that draft in 2019 when the Niners took Mitch Wisnowski, and he was an early fourth round pick. So who that player is aside, we've seen how good the 49ers are at plucking players who are valuable late in the draft. And I just don't think punter is a position. And you can look at the approximate value on Pro Football Reference. You can look at wins above replacement from Pro Football Focus, and you talk about a replacement punter versus Mitch Wisnowski, you're getting almost nothing extra above a replacement punter from that fourth round pick. Whereas, and that's where I even disagree with Bob's argument. And by the way, I'm not trying to crush you, Bob. I'm just, you were the one that was vocal about it on Twitter, and I do appreciate you listening to the show. I just disagree with you on this take. And I was talking about the draft, but he mentioned just the fact that he played 16 games is more valuable than a player who might have played 2 games. If you look at approximate value and you look at wins above replacement, that's not even true. A player who starts 2 games at an impactful position is way more valuable according to the stat nerds even, and not just like, you know, the scouting eye or whatever, and not about what a player could potentially be at that impactful position if you get him for 16 games. Even that player at 2 games is still more valuable above replacement level punting than Mitch Wisnowski was playing 16 games. So that's all I have to say about that.
Ooh, mic drop.
And yeah, Bob, it's nothing against you again. I want to say thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for hollering at us and getting mad at us. It's okay when people get mad at us, but we can have a little conversation about some of those things. Can we fit one more question in here? Quick one, maybe? Let's go to Fish.
There was one question someone asked us, and I ended up kind of responding there, but I think it was something that would be good, you know, just in case people didn't know. And it was about Fred Warner. And someone said, why sign Fred Warner now when he still had a cheap fourth year? And the response is that his contract doesn't kick in this year. So
Yeah, it doesn't affect his cap number is exactly the same as it would have been this year. They're just signing him now instead of later, which is smart because that number is only going to go up. Whatever that the Niners had to pay him this offseason, they waited till next offseason. When he hit the open market, it would have been more. So, yeah.
Well, it would have had to be more if he just paid, if he got paid after the Leonard, White, Roquan Smith, if he got paid out, like he was just going to have to get more than whatever they got. Now he sets the market and they're going to probably get paid. So by this time next year, Fred Warner will probably be the fourth highest paid linebacker in the NFL.
Exactly. And he deserves to be number one. So if those other three guys went over the top of Bobby Wagner, now you got to pay Fred Warner $20 million instead of $19 million or $21 million instead of $19 million. So it was smart for the 49ers to get that deal done now. Absolutely. Thanks for all the questions, everybody out there. We'll hit some more tomorrow with Nick Winkler, and we'll be with you every day as we go through training camp. We'll have all the stories, everything that's happening at practices, everything that's going on with your San Francisco 49ers preseason, regular season, all year long, right here, Locked On 49ers.